Welcome everyone. Shir number 63. Yud Gimel. Mar Cheshvan Tovshin Samiches. We are now holding by the last Halalukah, which is after Ashrei, which also is the last capital, last chapter of the whole 150 chapters of Tehillim. And I think at this point, if we don't ask this question, it's going to be too late afterwards. Why did David HaMelech write Tehillim? What's the main purpose? What is one of the main purposes for the Sefer Tehillim? Praise God. Very good. Keep that in mind. And what does this chapter specifically have to teach us that David HaMelech felt it appropriate to put this as the last chapter, the last capital in all 150 chapters? Well, before we answer that question, okay, my plan was to go to something else, to ask the question and then go to something else. What we're going to do first is remind ourselves of the power of Tehillim. And specifically as to why Chazal, why the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah, why they instituted to place Tehillim in the Psukei de Zimra. And the answer to that question is actually found in the words of Psukei de Zimra, verses of Zemer, of song. But Zemer is also, as we discussed many months ago, to prune, to cut. With that mindset, what we're doing is, when we come to Davin, and when we say Davin, we mean ultimately to stand in front of God by Shemona Esrei. And what we're saying is, we're going to be one, ourselves alone, in front of Hashem. And we want our prayers, our tefillahs to be answered. We want to make sure we're talking to Hashem and there's nothing disrupting that discussion. In order to do that, we have to cut down the barriers. What are the barriers? The barriers are all those different aspects of those angels, accusing angels, who seek to harm us, to make sure our tefillah does not go through to Hashem. And although we can't see them with our naked eye, they exist. And that's what holds back our tefillah. So we take out the scissors, and we start chopping them away. And how do we do that? Psukei de Zimra. The verses of Zemer, of Psukim de Zimra. And that's what Tehillim is doing in the daily service of Tefillah. We are davening with the Psukei de Zimra. We cut through these angels of destruction. And then our Tefillahs are able to go to Hashem. Just to emphasize the power of these tefillahs, before we do that, the Levush, the student of Rav Mordechai Yafo, he is the one who said, brings us down what we just said, that the tefillah, the Psukei de Zimra, breaks that barrier between us and Hashem. The Sefer Emek HaMelech relates a story that took place in the year 1352. And this incident was recorded by Rav Avigdor Karo. And the story is as follows. Unfortunately, we know there were many crusades when many Jews were massacred, tortured, destroyed. And one such massacre took place in Erfurt, Germany, in that year, 1352. Many Jewish communities were destroyed and totally wiped out. There was a pious old man who was not so knowledgeable in Gemara, Tanakh, in learning. He wasn't a big scholar. But one thing he did constantly was recite Tehillim. after he died, he came back in the dream to the leader of the town of Erfurt. And he told him, they had a conversation, they recognized each other because this scholar just buried him. And he noticed he's holding something in his hand. He said, "What is that in your hand?" He said, "It's my book of Tehillim." And this pious old man explained to him, not alive anymore, explained to the scholar that I used to recite Tehillim every single day, the whole entire 150 chapters, every single day. And in that merit, everybody in the town was saved. Now that I'm not alive, you have to flee, because you're next. This town is coming to destruction. That was a dream. The scholar woke up and he sent out a messenger to spread this word. And those who listened were saved. And unfortunately, those who did not listen perished. The stories go on and on with the power of Tehillim. I mentioned this in the past, I'll say it again. Now my grandmother, she'll live and be well, a survivor from the Holocaust. And that's what she does. She wakes up 4 o'clock in the morning, says Tehillim. After she finishes saying Tehillim, she says Tehillim. Then she says more Tehillim. Then she davens. This is her routine. And the famous story from the Satmar Rav is that when a person wants a bracha, you go to a survivor and you ask the survivor for a bracha. I figured, what better inn do I have? I go to my grandmother. So I said, "Bubby, can I have a bracha?" And she said, "What do you think I do all day for you? I'm davening for you all day." And I'm thinking like, oh boy. Because it's true. This Tehillim that she's saying, what do I think is doing? Let's come back now to our discussion tonight, number 150. The last chapter of Tehillim. What are we saying here, and why did David HaMelech decide to write it specifically over here? Why 150 chapters Tehillim? And as Steve mentioned, to praise God. And as Simcha wants to say,
to make music to God.
And they're both correct. Both Simcha and both Steve are correct. And to be more specific, it's a situation where in every single aspect of our life, whether we see things going well for us, whether we see things not going so well for us, David HaMelech has come to teach us a lesson. Hallelujah. Hallel. Sing to Hashem. Praise to Hashem. Make music to Hashem. Thank Hashem. Recognize Hashem's existence, no matter what the situation is. The Radak explains, he tells us there are 13 times in this chapter here that it says Hallel, praise, corresponding to the Yud Gimel Midas Shel Rachman, the 13 attributes of mercy. We are now going to go through a symphony, an orchestra, where the orchestrator is none other than God Himself. Because these words from David HaMelech are from Ruach HaKodesh. They were given to David HaMelech from Hashem. And this is the message that Hashem is teaching us through David HaMelech. Hallelu, Halleluka, Hallelu, Kel, Bekotshoi, Hallelu, Beki, Uzoi. You should praise Hashem in the sanctuary, praise Him, Birakia, in the firmament. That's His power. No matter when we see His power, or sometimes we fail to see His power. Praise Hashem. Praise His might. Halu Kurev Gudloy, with His abundance of greatness. And it continues now to a different aspect of musical instruments. Music, make music to Hashem, as you said. The different instruments, and I want to tell you something, I have no relationship to music. Unfortunately, I don't have that ear. But I'll tell you what Chazal tell us. They explain over here that each of these instruments come to represent a different emotion that man has. For example, the loud blow of the shofar is a big loud sound, that we all know. Petrifying, scary sound to arouse us to do tshuva. And then we have the sound of a flute that comes later on. The harp, the lyre, the drum, the soif, the machal, the dance, the organ, the cymbals, the trumpets, all these different instruments. And each one of these instruments come to give us another message that whenever a situation will arise in our life, whether it's the loud trumpet, which might tell us when things are busy in a person's life and things sometimes don't seem to go so well. You turn left, you turn right. There's no hope, it seems like. Hallel, hallelujah, praise Hashem. Recognize Hashem is in charge. In those circumstances, realize Hashem is running the world. When it's the most difficult. Chas v'shalom, we should never have any problems, but if things do arise in our life, David HaMelech is teaching us over here, we have to realize Hashem is running the world. Or whether it's a serene, calm note. In that situation, sometimes man forgets of Hashem, chas v'shalom. Things go well. Just ask the kid who has the father's credit card, how many times does he call home? I just spoke to a father today. Just spoke to him today. He told me he has two children in Eretz Yisrael. Two children learning. A boy and a girl. He just told me a few hours ago. And he said, Baruch Hashem, his son's doing well. His daughter's doing well. And how does he know? Because he has his spies out there. Who's his spy? His daughter checking out his son. Oh, the brother. Okay, good, fine. When does she meet him? When he needs money. The father sends the money to the daughter. And the son, the brother, has to go to the sister and collect the money. And the sister sees how her brother's doing. He just told me the story today. And he said to me, Baruch Hashem, you can't imagine. You're doing great. As of October 24th, which is today. Now, I want to tell you something. If the father would have given the son that credit card, he'd have to get other spies. You know who he'd have to get to be the spy? The bank. How many times is he swiping that credit card? And what's he buying over there? Svarim. Maybe the food's not so good in yeshiva, I don't know. He's got to go out to buy some food. When things go well, sometimes we forget about Hashem. So even in those circumstances, we have to recognize Hashem. And that's what these different instruments are doing for us. They're telling us, recognize me throughout your daily life, throughout the week, throughout the month, throughout all the months of the year, throughout every single year. Recognize me, acknowledge me that I am with you. And what? And I know what I'm doing. And I'm taking care of you. The Sefer Chovos HaLevavos tells us, just today, the Siyat HaShemayah that I got, I heard my two friends, Rabbi Weiss and Rabbi Goldstein, I heard them learning this, and I said, where are you? Where are you learning that? And I went over, I saw exactly where they were learning, and it reminded me the Chayvus Halvavus in Shar, in the beginning, the introduction to Shar Bechino, he tells us that there are certain situations that will come up in a person's life. He'll lose some money sometimes. Might not fall out of his pocket, but when he gets a bill from the mechanic of $750 and the car was already insured for the under the warranty, the $930 warranty will take care of. The $700 no, that he has to pay himself. I know the person personally, it was me. What's Hashem saying? I'm with you. We don't understand everything Chavis always tells us. But one thing he tells us, all of these things that take place, these are different measures that will bring us good in this world. Or, they come to test us. How will we respond to get a bill like this? It's not such a big deal, the truth is. Unfortunately, there are a lot of tsaras, a lot of bad things that go on in the world. But it's a test. Other things are tests. Or, sometimes things are punishments. There's no righteous man in the land, says Shlomo HaMelech, the son of David HaMelech, who does good and doesn't sin. So, listen. One minute, tiny sin. But it still needs a punishment. Why? Because Hashem says, I'd rather you get it here than over there in the world to come. Now, the Chayus HaVavis tells us something which is of the most important, and that's what ties in specifically to tonight's shir. And we just said it this morning, Wednesday. Ashrei HaGeva Asher Ta'asreinu Ka U'mitayros Ros Lamdenu. Fortunate is the man. Fortunate is the man that God chastises. And God teaches him his Torah. When things happen to us, we get a bill, we hear unfortunate news, things don't go well with our co-workers, someone says things to us, it can happen to all of us, it happens to us. Many times we try to help somebody, and the response is not what we expected. In fact, it's just the total opposite. How do we approach this? How do we understand this? What should be our response? And our response is, thank you, Hashem. Ashrei HaGever. Now it's difficult. And we've all been there. I see the faces on people like, what is he talking about? Give me a break. But we all know it's true. We all know, as the Chayus HaVavus told us, that these different situations that come up to us in everyday life, when we lose things, we lose money or whatever it is, the pain and suffering that a person emotionally and physically might go through, it's for us to be taken care of here in this world so we'll be better off in the next world. It's a short time. We look back when we were younger and time flies. We are looking around, we're all different ages over here. You know, the first thing that popped in my head when I was playing in the back of my house around the corner with one of my brothers and two friends, and they told me, hit the baseball. I said, no, if I use the baseball, I might hit the ball too far. Now, it wasn't the best ball play, but I was concerned. I might break a window. No, our gloves, we were younger boys. No, our gloves are too small. The softball's too hard to catch. And I gave in to peer pressure. Took the ball, took the bat, the first shot. Right over their heads, bounced, boom, into the window. I put the bat down and I walked away. I said, I told you so. And the next day, I did something. I don't know why I did it. But my father drove me around. This was a Sunday. The next day, I just turned bar mitzvah because I remember afterwards, it was raining, just like tonight, raining day. Father drove me around there. He said to me, should I come in with you? And I don't know why, but I said no. And I walked in there. I was shaking like a leaf. And I see this man talking to the secretary, and they have this glass on the table with, like, you know, I figured it's a very wealthy place there. They put the, like, the $100 bills just to show everybody. I'm thinking, like, oh boy, I'm in trouble now. Just this displayed over there. Like, I could use that money. You just keep it on the table there. And finally, they pick up their head and, yes, can I help you? So, well, I told them, you know, I was playing ball, you know. So, which window? So, you know, but it's like a big window, that corner. But so I was ready to pull out, you know, my pennies, my nickels, you know. And they said to me, don't worry about it. Just be careful. Don't do it again. As I walked out, I found that it's a window glass place. They make windows over there. When we look back, we all have situations that, you know, life is short. Hashem says, I know what's best for you, so these things will take place for you here in this world. Or as we just mentioned, or it's a test for us. But says the Chavis HaVavos, what happens if you don't realize and that these things that take place, which sometimes we don't understand how it's for our benefit, and we don't appreciate them. He says, V'hem shoychim ki kol ha'moyis halolu. These people who don't appreciate them, they forget that all these situations that take place, and all of the circumstances that come in front of the people, all of them are good things that Hashem gives us. They're as good as that credit card that the father would give the son unlimited. B'tor nedav v'chesed, it's kindness. It's a gift. V'shehabayre gozar v'tzedek, kifima shechachmos mechayeves, that Hashem decreed according to what His wisdom says He's obligated to do for each person. Shema'aris eilo yovo yaleyem, that these situations will come upon a person. However, these people, they don't see the chesed of Hashem. What do? This is very important. They don't praise Hashem. David HaMelech is telling us, Hallelujah. Praise Hashem. In the loud sound of the trumpets, when things sometimes seem very tumultic, we can't make sense of how things are going on. I have a situation that it's not a personal, but it is personal because it's a fellow Jew. I don't want to say it. It's such a sad story I just heard a couple days ago. And it's hard to say it. That is for the best. The people, when these things happen, they don't praise Hashem. What does he continue and say? That their foolishness, by not praising Hashem and thanking Hashem for these situations, causes them to be a kaifer, to be a heretic, to go away from Hashem, to attack Hashem. And they say, oh, you know, if I was God, I would run the show a little differently, because I know better. It's all right here. Shara Bechina in the Psicha, it's page Kuf Lamed Gimel in this edition. And he ends off in this paragraph and says, Ve'einam roitzim ladas. And these people don't want to know, they don't want to believe, admit to themselves, Sheheim atzmom garmu lahem lovay lidei matzah, that they themselves, through their actions, caused this situation to happen. Through their chatoim, through their sins. And he gives a mashal, an unbelievable mashal. A mashal with a room, an office, a bunch of blind people. Unfortunately, they can't see anything. And they're all put together in this room. One house. And everything was prepared for them. according to their disability, that things should be set up, that they shouldn't trip, they shouldn't fall. And above all, the doctors were there to help cure their sickness and help them come back to the ability to see again. So what do these wise men do? Says the Chavis of Avos. They say, we know better. And they don't follow instructions. And they walk around in places they were told not to walk. And they smash, they knock into things, and they knock down the medicine that could have cured them. And they're upset at the doctors and the situation they're in. Until the point where they break their bones without realizing that this was a chesed for them. This was kindness. This was what was best for them. That house that was set up for them, go here, don't go here, take your medicine, don't take your medicine today. This much, not that much. And that's the mashal. And the nimshal is, obviously we can understand that these situations that take place in a person's life, they are all for our benefit. I went downstairs a few minutes ago. I heard one friend tell another friend, just walking by, Gamzu Latayif. I told him, you just said my whole shir tonight. That's it. I'm finished. Nothing more for me to say. Gamzu Latayif. And it's very easy for us to say it, to hear it. But what we have to do is when we say these words, Hallelujah, Hallelujah, Kel Bekotshoi, Hallelujah, Bekiyuzoi, Hallelujah, Bekvuroisov, Hallelujah, Bekroiv Gudloi, Beseke Shoifar, Beneil Vachinar, Beseif Machol, praise Hashem with all these different situations that come up in our lives. When we constantly repeat it, repeat it, repeat it, we take the medicine from the doctor who is going to cure those blind people. And in some aspects, we're all blind to the ways of God. Many aspects. And this is the antidote David HaMelech is giving us right over here. If we have to pick one person in Tanakh whose life was full of trouble and his response was praise, David HaMelech. Simply, you're right. 100%. The Medrash tells us, "Kol oysom shivim shona, shehayeh David chai hayu b'tzoros." All the 70 years of David HaMelech were tzoros, were difficult years. Every single year. And tell you the truth, he wasn't supposed to live. His life was not supposed to exist. He was born, and he was supposed to die a few hours later. As we know, Adam HaRishon was shown the whole entire future. He was shown Simcha. He was shown Gershon. Everybody here. Me too, Steve. Me too, everybody. And he saw a person, David HaMelech. And he saw his potential. And he gave 70 years of his life to David HaMelech. His tzoros began and didn't stop until even after he died. There was a question with David's lineage. Who his mother was. We can't get into all the specific details. We'll just go through a few different aspects of his lifestyle, of his life, of the tzaras he went through. The first 28 years of his life, he was a shepherd. His father put him aside. His brothers were mevaza him. His family members disgraced him. and they led him to be the shepherd. He was once taking care of the sheep, made a left, a right turn, he's on this tremendous mountain. Think of the pachad, the fear, the trepidation when this mountain starts moving. Because it did. The Medrash tells us again that he was on a re'aim, a beast the size of a mountain. And he davened to Hashem, save me. And if you save me, I'll build you a Beis HaMikdash. Although he never merited to actually build it. Mizmashir Chanukas HaBayis LeDavid. We know it's attributed to him that he prepared everything. He made sure it was all ready. And Hashem answered his tefillos. And who stopped by right in front of this tremendous, massive mountain, this beast, the Re'aim? The Melech, the Aryeh of the lions, of the animals, the king of the lions, the king of the animals, the lion. The lion, Hashem makes the lion approach this Re'aim. The Re'aim bows down to the lion. David HaMelech walks off. But think of the fear he had when he was on this mountain that was not a mountain. And things were just beginning. Faced a giant Goliath. Goliath who imbued this scared that Klal Yisrael with fear. He's going to destroy them. And after he wins, it only gets worse. Because he was promised the daughter of Shaul HaMelech. And now, as Chazal will tell us, we can't explain it now, now's not the time for it. But now, he will have his most difficult enemy, with Shaul HaMelech. Not because it's his father-in-law. Now, whenever we discuss the tzaddikim of Tanakh, we have to realize that they are judged for every single move they made with a magnifying glass. It's extremely difficult for us to realize their greatness. We cannot understand their greatness, their holiness. But at the end of the day, Shaul HaMelech was one of David's enemies. He was supposed to get Michal, his daughter, Shaul's daughter, for a wife. And he was given to Palti ben Laish, a whole discussion. Gemara in Sanhedrin, Daf Yetzer, discusses it. And then, we all know the story with Bathsheba, Uriah Achiti, one of the most difficult parshas in Tanakh. When the Gemara in Shabbos tells us, whoever says David sinned is wrong. But yet David HaMelech did tshuva. He was sick for 13 years of his life. 13 years of his life, bedridden. He cried day and night. He cried constantly. And they had to constantly change the sheets. Doing tshuva for this chait. Once again, in his eyes, David HaMelech did tshuva. We have to realize, we're not discussing a difficult parasha now. Whoever says David sinned, is making a mistake. He had a ma'aseh with Tamar. And Amnon attacked, violated David's daughter Tamar. And then the rebellion of Absalom. It goes on and on. And before that situation, there was a situation with Shimi ben Gera, when David HaMelech was with his 400 soldiers. And Shimi ben Gera cursed him out, to use our terminology. And Chazal tell us מה שעשו לו שמעון בן גרא, what Shimon ben Gera did to David HaMelech, היה יויסי מכל היסורים שעבר עליו ועד עשו היום, were worse than all the יסורים, all of the troubles that took place in David's life until that point in time. This took the cake. This was the worst. And what was his response? V'loy ono loy David. And David did not respond at all. Imagine that. This was the worst until this point in his life. And he was the melech. He could have responded. According to some opinions, he was already anointed. It wasn't the melech of the entire Klai Yisrael, but he was already anointed. And his soldiers said, we should get rid of him. You don't treat a king like this. Shikacha hayaroyeloi, he could have taken care of Shimi ben Gera, but he kept silent. Ubazen ischafru chatov, and his sins were atoned because he kept silent. The list goes on and on. There was a time period in his life when he got saras. David HaMelech asked Hashem, do you forgive me for my sin on his level, on the specific strict judgment of Hashem to David for my chataim? Hashem said yes. David said, what's my sign? Show me a sign, please. Can you please show me a sign? He said, not in your lifetime. When did David, when was his name cleaned? When Shlomo HaMelech wanted to inaugurate the Beis HaMikdash, the doors wouldn't open. We discussed this in the past. He tried everything. It didn't open up. Until he asked for the doors to open in the merit of his father. And then the doors opened up. At that point in time, Klal Yisrael realized we were all wrong. David is beloved by Hashem. But it wasn't his lifetime. It was only after he died. And immediately after the situation, the story with Bathsheba, she became pregnant. We discussed this a few months ago. And she had a child. And the child, he was told by Nasa Navi, that child will die. Now this, what we're about to say, is what we discussed last time when we learned Tayv Hashem Lakol. And the way David HaMelech approaches this situation is how we are to approach our lifestyle as well. And Chas Hashem, God forbid, sorrow should befall upon us. If bad things come upon us, which they should never do, this is the message, this is the way we should handle them. And what did David do? He dived into Hashem to break the decree. He davened and davened and davened. And after the child died, he thanked Hashem. He appreciated it. He recognized Hashem is doing what's right. No matter what the situation is, Hallel, Hallel, Hallel. Hallelujah. This is the final message. You to hear for us to use our free choice. That's the challenge of life. To recognize Hashem in every situation. The Gemara in Shabbos, Daf Kuf Yud Ches, tells us that we should be one of those who merit to say Hallel every day. Which Hallel are we talking about? Not the Hallel which we recite on Rosh Chodesh, on Yontif, but the Hallel of Tehillim. We should merit to say the Psukei, the Zimra of Tehillim. Ask the Ben Yoyada, he asked the question, who doesn't recite the Psukei, the Zimra? We all say Hallel. We all say the Hallelukas. It's not before, after we say it. What is the Gemara referring to? And he says as follows. The last few words end off. Kol hanishoma tahalel ko haleluka. Kol hanishoma tahalel ko haleluka. Let all the souls praise Hashem. That's how we end off the 150 chapters of Tehillim. That's how we end off all the five halalukas that followed Ashrei. Says the Ben Yoda that what the Gemara refers to when it says that we should merit to be those who recite Hallel. Chazal Darshanat, call on the Shema to Hallel Ka. That every soul should praise God. I'll call Neshima Neshima on every single breath we take. We have to come to thank God. In every situation. The Ben Yoyod is telling us, no matter what the circumstances are, we recognize it's from Hashem. And yet, call Haneshama to Haluka. Yet we still praise Hashem. I'll call Neshima Neshima. And we don't lose this mindset from our mind throughout the whole entire day. This is the message David HaMelech is teaching us. V'soif v'chinor v'tziltzlei shoma v'seik ha-shoifar v'nevel v'chinor and all the different instruments which Hashem is orchestrating, because Hashem knows what's best for us. And it's for us to do what? To make sure we praise Hashem. Or else, chas v'shalom, we could fall into the category, like the Chovas HaLevavos tells us, of those who will not believe in Hashem. Those who feel they know better than Hashem. Call HaNeshama Tahalel Ka HaLuka.